Well, Ken, because Craig's got to has a line or and some things to do, I think maybe we should probably just get going.
Yeah, let's keep going.
You can download,
go ahead.
Yeah, again, you can download and view the entire PDF by going to hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon, and it should be the second link down, exit hole. So there's been a lot of discussion in the past about what the C-Ring exit hole actually was, how it might have been formed. In the past, there's been some discussion about how the columns were, you know, such an impediment that there's no way things could go in, and we've heard people say, well, there's been a slurry that goes in and around the columns. I was never very comfortable with that, even though they were said by some of the large plane impact proponents. So earlier this year, I got interested in the question of was that accurate, and I went and actually took a close look at how things were done. And I'm going to go through some of this information here. I look a lot of pictures of the inside of the Pentagon as it's being cleaned up and things like that. So I ran across some photographs that are very intriguing, and we'll kind of go through those. And ultimately, it shows that there were some clear paths, more debris from the E-ring exit, from the E-ring entrance hole to the C-ring exit hole. And so let me kind of go through that again. If you don't have the slides, this is never going to work as well. So going on to slide, things don't work always easy. Slide two is orientation. Slide three is an overview that many of us have seen before, but it provides some landscapes. First of all, what we see here are the five rings. I want to point out that there are two story sections between rings E and D, between D and C, and then it goes all the way down to ground level between C and B, and then there's another, as you can see, just three rows of windows in the A and B section. The impact area is where the roof had collapsed over the area from around column 18AA to column 8AA in wedge one. The C-ring exit hole is between columns 5O and 7O in wedge 2. Wedge 2, of course, was not the reconstructed version, and you might happen to notice that the windows in the A and E drive to the left of the A and E drive are intact, while many of the ones to the right are not. That's because they weren't upgraded ones. Moving on to slide four, this is a picture of the from the ASCE report that shows the columns. The columns, in this case, were highlighted with colors to show their damage. They were, in fact, shown not to scale, but they were about three times larger than, a little bigger than three times larger in each direction. So almost 10 times bigger area-wise than they existed in reality. I've also highlighted the two-story sections because so many people kind of get confused about the fact that the first two floors were continuous open space with the exception of the columns from the E-ring to the C-ring. Going down to slide five, this is kind of the takeaway point. If you do a graphical analysis of the spaces between the columns, we see that there are at least three areas that go from the E-ring impact point to the C-ring exit hole. One is 1.1 feet, not very wide. Another one's 2.5 feet, and another one's 2.3 feet. So where I'm pointing by the 2.3 feet, we're going to do a little bit of measurements just to kind of see how things look. There's some photos from the inside looking at the C-ring exit hole that will give us some dimensions. So moving on to slide seven, we see kind of a zoom in of this area. I've identified columns 3N north, 3M north on the right-hand side, column 5N north on the left, and the angle of the photograph, and I've highlighted where wedge 1 and wedge 2 is. Slide 8 shows the exit hole from the inside looking between columns 3M and 3N, and you can see 5N on the left-hand side. Kind of moving on, slide 9 is a kind of a close-up. You can kind of look out through the window or through the opening to see some of the people, some of the workers there. Slide 10 is a different view of this that was done after the cleanup had progressed for a while. Going on to slide 12, I give some of the way that I'm going to validate the path width from these inside photos. I don't think I need to go over this, but if I go to slide, I'm going to go to slide 14, which shows the view of the camera between the columns. And it's estimated that at that point there, what you can see is about 6.3 feet. And we're going to take a look at that going on to slide 15, where I superimpose the about a 6.3-foot distance. The column faces are 21 inches on a side. The wheelbarrow is about 20, 21 inches, something like that. So it gives you some confidence that the drawings that I made that showed the 2.5, the 2.3 foot, and the 1.1 foot are at least reasonable estimates. Now we're going to go take a look at the exit hole photos in the A&E, which is slide 17. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. The slide 18 is an early photo with some smoke rising from the exit hole. Slide 18 is one of the more recently released FBI photos. Again, it shows the debris, probably September 12th. Slide 19 is from the Massawi trial, I believe. Again, you can see the debris. We're going to zoom in on a couple of pieces. Slide 20 shows the interior plaster wall mesh was not really destroyed on the inside. You know, there's an argument that there was shape charges, but the interior wall was still kind of like hanging there, the plaster and the what appears to be metal lath. And again, some more of the debris. We'll talk about that. Go to slide 21. Now, the next couple of slides are going to try to focus in on some of the debris that is identifiable that people have talked about. And here what we have is the wheel. I've kind of cut out and enlarged the section that shows a tire that's pretty well damaged and separated from the hub, which is we'll see in some of the other photos from different angles. So slide 22 is a photo, again, from that angle. You can, again, also see the tire. None of these are good photos, but they are very indicative of a tire and some of the other pieces, especially the wheel hub, and I believe some of the landing gear is attached to that. Slide 23 is from a video called Inside the Pentagon, and the video is not very good on you, and so you can see the tire on the right-hand side. This is just one of the screen captures in the wheel room. Slides 24, 25, and 26 basically show that some of the quotes at the mouth of the third hole, they saw a piece of a wheel and countless shards of wreckage. Slide 25, I looked left and saw a huge hole in what looked like a piece of the landing gear. The wheel and the piece of the landing gear, about 10 feet of landing gear, had just sheared off and punched a huge hole. This is from the firefighters. There's some more text here if you want to read it. I don't need to go through it word for word. I've highlighted some of the key phrases. Going to slide 28, we start talking about the wall that was broken in the C-ring exit hole area. The AEC report says the first floor story of the AE drive is brick infill with concrete frame with no windows. The columns on either side of the C-ring exit hole are about 20 feet apart. And there's no significant intermediate support observed between the columns. They're about 10 feet high, and it's between columns 5-0 and 7-0 in the wedge 2. So you've got a large wall, infill brick, and in fact, it's only two bricks thick. Slide 29, we're going to see a number of these. Slide 29 shows a close-up near the plaster and wire lath, showing the two layers of bricks on the of the wall. Slide 30 is from a different angle. Also note that there's a pipe bent outwards. There's a number of things that are actually bent in the initial photos before they started using it as a door, bent outwards. And again, the wall appears to substantiate the other picture, which had two bricks thick. Slide 31, zoom in, again, two bricks thick. Can't see anything thicker or more substantial. Slide 32, just another one, two bricks thick, is all you can see. And then a couple of other slides here. Slide 34 is looking from the C-ring back through to the E-ring windows. Originally, I thought that the internal work light, they marked as internal work light, was actually seeing through the forest, the columns, but at this stage, there's so much cribbing to hold up the upper floors that there's no light, and this is an internal light. But if you look to the right, you can see the E-ring windows, and again, that shows that there is, in fact, no intervening walls of any substance between the rings on this on the first floor that you can see here. Slide 35 is kind of another photo, and I kind of zoomed in on the window area. Slides 37 and 38 are just simply other versions of the floor plans showing the columns to scale. And they are far smaller than those that's shown in the ASCE report, which was done they were made bigger so you could see the colors. And that concludes the presentation, and I hope I stayed within my 15 minutes. Looks like I did. Okay? Any questions?
Yep. Thank you for being concise. We get time for a couple short questions, so who would like to ask a question or make a comment?
This is Cheryl. I'd like to ask a question, Wayne. The pictures, it looks like the plane would have to have been sliding along the ground, have gone through that, and I'm just wondering if an aluminum plane going that fast wouldn't rip apart before it could make that hole in the C-ring.
Well, the entire plane it would have been torn up by going through the columns, and then there are, of course, many other columns by the time you get close to the C-ring that are just damaged. They are still intact. And so whatever had to fly through the openings had to go in a straight line, which is why, you know, I keep getting challenged on so many of these questions. So I had to see. I had to see if there was a way that something of mass, significant mass, and especially the wheel and the landing gear pieces could actually have gone through, because there's no way that they could have gone floated around in a slurry or in and out of the columns. No, to do this, they never could have done that. But the fact that there are these 2 foot wide paths for something to have gone through substantiates that the presence of some of this material, some of the big pieces. So what you're seeing is not the whole plane, but some of the heavier pieces that made it through this these corridors between the columns, the paths between the columns that I've graphically produced, and I believe that they're accurate. I didn't include the columns near the E-ring impact point, simply because the columns there were all destroyed or knocked down or something, so they would not have been an impediment. And we were just looking for, are there pathways to go from the E-ring entrance point to the C-ring exit hole? And, in fact, subject to being corrected and someone doing a better job than I did and showing me that there's no way, I don't think that's likely. I think I've done a good job on this. So there's a pathway.
But when I look at your photo in slide 3, it looks like the angle was totally off, that it couldn't actually go through the E-ring entrance hole and come out the C-ring exit hole, like a part of the building would still be in the way that's standing right at the E-ring entrance. So to me, that doesn't look like it would work. At the E-ring entrance hole, if you look at an angle toward the C-ring exit hole there, it just looks like it couldn't work. There's part of the building in blocking the E-ring entrance there to have a great angle to hit the C-ring exit hole that you have there. It just doesn't look visually like that would work.
Right. So great question, Cheryl. I'm glad you asked it so I can emphasize again. At the first two floors, floors 1 and 2, are open and there are no walls there at all. There's the outer E-ring wall that we've talked about, and there's the C-ring, and those are the only walls that exist between that. And, for example, if you were to go to slide 4, you'll see that they are, in fact, two-story sections between the E-ring and the D and the C-ring. They're two stories tall, so there's no impediments, which is why I show those last slides at the very end.
I don't understand that, Wayne. I don't understand what you mean. There's two stories high, and so there's no impediment. I don't see what you're saying there.
Okay, right. So if you go back to Loose Change and Plain Sight, all these other early videos, what they said, and I've even heard some of our more contemporary experts, so to speak, talking about this, where they say the plane has to go hit the E-ring, go out the E-ring through a wall, into the D-ring through a wall, out of the D-ring, into the C-ring, and then out of the C-ring. And so there's all these walls in plain sight. Says there's 9 feet of steel-reinforced concrete in the way, and in fact there's none. There's the outer wall, which isn't even concrete. It's just some infill bricks and the frames for the windows. And there's nothing. There are no walls in there.
Wayne, that's why I'm confused. I see walls. I see the D-ring with two walls. I see the C-ring with two walls. I don't get what you're saying.
Because those are the floors 3, 4, and 5. Floors 1 and 2, one is where all the vast amount of damage was, doesn't have a wall that goes all the way down. That's why on slide 3, I put in the little orange boxes that say two-story section between E and D, and two-story section between D and C, because they're two stories. That means the first two stories are continuous. There are no walls.
Is there a facade on the first two floors, or what?
No, nothing. That's why if you go to, I think it was my slide 39, where you look back from the C-ring exit hole and you look out through the window in the E-ring, and I kind of zoomed in and blew it up, there's nothing between them. There's no interior walls. That's a misconception that goes back.
No, interior walls, yes. I think the problem here is that Cheryl's talking about exterior walls, okay, and you're talking about interior walls.
I think Cheryl has to be talking about the interior walls because we know that the plane impacted.
I'm talking about all the walls, Wayne. But I just don't get what you're saying. But that's okay. Don't let me keep everyone listening. Just go on and I'll.
Well, it's an important thing because it's the first two floors are continuous, no walls between them from the outer E-ring to the inner C-ring. There's no walls in between. Only these 21-inch square columns.
So, that's Ms. Kelly, you're saying from the E-ring all the way to the C-ring, there are no walls.
From the E-ring to the C-ring, there are no internal solid walls other than partitions. And there's vast number of pictures showing the aluminum studs and drywall that have been damaged, not particularly in that area, but all around the Pentagon. But
so in your
there
opinion,
are no interior walls. Pardon?
Okay. So in your opinion, the plane itself went through that without a problem?
There are large pieces, such as the landing gear and the wheel, that made it through. That's all I can say. Plus, there's many other shards of stuff that flowed through this also. And if you listen, if you read the interviews with people inside the building, they'll talk about the huge winds and the winds as the fireball on the outside blew things through the building.
Would a bomb create the same effect?
No. Many of the people, for example, will talk about the winds, and they will. One woman talked about seeing a chalkboard sliding, something happening at the far end of the room, and a chalkboard sliding at her. She puts her hands up to try to hold it. So it's a. It's very much. If you read, if you do what I've done and read through many of these accounts, you hear a lot about winds. Of course, there's people that say explosions that blew up, but in fact, what you hear is consistent with an impact followed by a fireball type pressure event that blew things through. That's why this people talk about the winds. So,
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
What about all the other witnesses that said they smelled cordite, which is an explosive?
So many of those people, as you probably recall, Frank, say that they were in the A ring and the C ring. I don't recall that there are other people in the C, D, and E rings saying the same thing.
Well, April Gallup said that.
Yeah, and even if they were, what difference would that make, being that they were that far apart? I mean, they obviously smelled it, so it existed. Am I wrong?
Yes. The A and B rings are completely separated from the B, C, and D rings.
There could have been an explosion in those rings, you're saying, but not in the others?
My understanding of many of the witnesses that Barbara Honegger has pulled together talk about the cordite, and they talk about the A and the B ring, which are far from where the plane impact was. April Gallup does not talk about anything to do, at least anything I've seen, does not talk about anything to do with the smell of cordite.
I think she does. I think I've heard her say that.
No, I do. I do as well. I actually just recently read her testimony, and she did. So regardless.
April Gallup was. There are other people who, in the days and weeks after, talk about helping her out, and they don't talk about going through the entrance hole, so to speak. And of course, that entrance hole is fully engulfed in flames in the photographs that you see. There's the tree that's burning, the remnants of the tree, column 16. For some of them to actually have gone into this fire area, they would not have come out. They would have had to go the other direction. And
in your opinion, it's possible that there was explosives used at some point somewhere.
I'm only talking about there could have been explosives, certainly. I have no idea what happened in the A and B rings. What I've been talking about is that the evidence for a large plane that had impacted the building and done the damage is once you look at it, it's irrefutable. And
where's the luggage? Where's the luggage, Wayne?
Well, the luggage is all inside.
Or
there's a huge
passengers,
fire.
Or the seat, or any of that.
Okay.
That April Gallup said that she was sure she didn't want
the... Excuse me. We're out of time on this on this issue, unless people want to vote to extend it, which means extending the time, the total time of the teleconference. I think we should kind of leave it there because this is a very controversial question. It could go on and on, and I know it would. So let's just leave it there and thank Wayne for another presentation.